He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He lifted me up and turned me around, how He put my feet on solid ground.
You! And just before Brother Larry comes this morning, he has a special request for Brother Chris to sing this great old song called He this morning. Pray for him as he sings.
Turn the tide and come an angry sea. He alone decides who writes a symphony. He lights every star that makes the darkness bright. He keeps watch through all through dark and lonely night. He still finds the time to hear a child's first prayer. Saints or sinners call and always find him there. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say, I forgive. He can grant a wish or make a dream come true. He can paint the clouds and turn the gray skies blue. He alone knows where to find a what lies beyond the bend. He can touch a tree and turn the leaves to gold. He knows every lie that you and I have told. Though it makes him sad to see the way say, I forgive. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say, I
appreciate Chris doing that. My dad used to sing that. I love to think back that time. but don't everybody leave because Joe's not here. I think sometimes that, Samuel Clemens said that the only reason God made the ape was because he was disappointed in man. So, you know, maybe sometimes whenever I preach, you can go out of here and say, boy, I'm glad we got Joe. Anyway, when Joe asked me some time back, I began to pray about it and ask the Lord to give me some ideas about what he would have me to bring. And, of course, everybody knows it's going to come out of the Old Testament. That's what Greg said, is it? If he preaches, it's going to be out of Old Testament. Well, sometimes it is, and sometimes this is part of it, I guess. But, you know, the thing that amazes me so much about the generation that we live in today, when I was young, and a lot of us that are older here was young, how we got so excited about things. Now, there's three of my sons that are here, but our fourth son was, whenever we would go and do things, like if we were going on a trip, if we were going on to McDonald's. Now, y'all know Richard. He's big now. He's 280 pounds and 6'1". But when he was a little boy, about this tall, you could say, "We're going to McDonald's." "Oh, boy, we're going to McDonald's. We're going to McDonald's." "Oh, man," and he'd run and tell everybody, you know, and he was so excited. He was always. So we went to Disney World a few times when we was little, and all the way there, "Oh, Daddy, I can't wait to see what we're going to see. I can't wait to see it. Oh, boy, I'm so excited." And then sometimes he'd get so excited. One time we were walking along, and Richard was just going along, and Sherry could tell you about it better than I did, but all of a sudden we looked down, Richard's gone. And what he had done, he was so excited, he just kept on walking. And we finally found him with a guard, was standing there holding me, a little bitty boy, and he was standing there just crying, you know, because he'd gotten lost. But we found him. But I want to talk to you about, and what gets me about this generation that we live in today is almost sometimes we get beyond amazement of the anticipation of things and the excitement of something. We get beyond it. We can turn on the movies today, and we can see all kind of things that couldn't happen except in the movies. I mean, you know, oh, man, we're no longer, it seems like, amazed by things. And we get to this place where we're almost apathetic. I mean, we're like, it's almost like the movie industry is trying to impress upon us some new invention that they've got that can, I believe what's going to happen eventually. We're going to start having new John Wayne movies, and they're going to make John Wayne put him in it where that he's already passed, but it's going to look just like. In other words, what I'm saying is we're almost to the place we're almost doing away with actors. In other words, we cease to be almost amazed about things. But there's scriptures in the Bible, and there's a guy in this Bible, and he's in the Old Testament, Greg, in 2nd. If y'all want to read about him, 1 Kings, the 10th chapter. We're going to read about this fella. One of the most interesting characters, I believe, that was ever in the scriptures is a gentleman by the name of Solomon. He ruled Israel at a time when they were gathered together. And he did something. I believe today that if Solomon were here today and alive, I believe the whole world would be amazed about him. About him. And he was such an amazing character in the Bible that other nations were revered, and they feared him almost to the point, but they looked up to him. How did he do the things that he did on the world at this particular time? And it says here I want to read these first few chapters here. We'll read something about this, and this is something that happened about 950. Now, I like to teach, and I'm more of a teacher than I'm a preacher, So y'all bear with me. But what it is, the Queen of Sheba heard this first verse we're going to read first. We're going to read to probably somewhere around the 8th verse or something like that. It says, "When the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train of camels and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all of the questions there was, and not anything hid from the king he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendants, the ministers, and their apparel, the cupbearers, and the ascent which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And when she sat by the king, she said, 'It's a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine acts and thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came with my own eyes, and behold, the half hath not been told to me. Thy wisdom, thy prosperity, exceeding fame, I have heard. Happy are thy men, happy are thy servants that stand continuously before thee. Blessed thee, and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee.'" Who was Solomon? Who was Solomon? Well, let me just give you an idea of what she saw. Solomon was the richest man that has ever lived, right, even today. Poor old Bill Gates, I hate that for him. Right. I looked it up. I just kind of looked at the talents. Every year he received over 666 talents of gold. A talent of gold weighed 75 pounds, and it was pure gold. This came to be $1.6 billion every year that Solomon received. Solomon was undoubtedly somebody that would totally amaze the world today because he was totally blessed. God, how did he get that? Well, if you go back and you look at Solomon, she saw three things especially about Solomon that amazed her. The first thing was his wisdom. All those that were around him were content, and they realized. And she even said it in one place in here. She said, of thy God. Thy God. Solomon was, the wisdom of Solomon in that he sought the Lord in every avenue of his life. It didn't make any difference what age. Listen, young people, it makes no difference at our age and our time. God is still God at any age. But Solomon was so wealthy that and so rich, but yet he sought the wisdom of God. And it tells us about an experience where that two women had brought to him. And before any other question, I believe it's in the third chapter, if you want to go back and read to him. When he came to God and he said, the Lord said, what would thou give me? The first thing Solomon did came out of his mouth. He said, Lord, that thou would give me the wisdom to rule thy people. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for fame. You know, a lot of us, we want a lot of fame. We, all of our lives, we kind of seek after these things. But Solomon didn't ask. Lord, that I would have the wisdom to rule thy people. Now, that was his circumstance. Each and every one of us have our own. Lord, that I would have the wisdom to teach my children, to teach my grandchildren, to teach my family to be a better dad, to be a better mom. But Solomon didn't seek all these other things, but he sought for this wisdom. And the Lord said, the Lord made this statement. I think it's in the third chapter. Like I say, sometimes when you get a chance, read it. He said, because thou hast not asked for these other things, because in humility you've asked for this wisdom, he said, I'm going to make you the richest man that has ever been and the happiest man at this particular time. We know Solomon later on failed. But we're talking about this time of his life. Another thing that Solomon did. Oh, by the way, he built this temple unto God because he was so wealthy. They built a temple. Now listen to this. Talking about amazing. At the foot of the mountain, they built this temple. They hewn out these stones and rocks. But there was no sound of any chinking. In total silence, they built it. They scraped every stone so that when they put this temple together up on that mountain, you couldn't even slide a knife blade in between the stones. Took them 7 years, 150,000 laborers, 3,600 supervisors. It means most of the women were supervisors.
Oh, yeah.
The amazement. Solomon was an architect, unparalleled. An engineer, unparalleled. A great leader, unparalleled in his ways. I mean, he somehow knew how to please all of these people. Solomon also wrote 3,000 proverbs, words of wisdom. Many, many, many that we use today, Solomon wrote. Some of them had even, I'd have to go back over. I could quote you some of it. But he wrote 1,003 songs. He wrote three books in the Old Testament. Solomon, where did he get all this time and all that he did? And you see, Sheba, when she came to see him, she said, you know what? Of all of these things that I see, the half was never told to me. It's unbelievable. And like I say, I believe to some extent that Solomon would either... today, he would amaze people. And you see, here's the thing about anything that's a matter of faith. Sheba, no doubt, had to receive an invitation. She might have written him a letter or something like that. We don't know exactly what happened, but we do know that she wanted to know. She wanted to know. So she received this invitation. And she gathered all of these amazing gifts that she thought was amazing. The things that I prize sometimes that I think I'm going to give to God, God doesn't have need of it. But she gathered all this stuff together, and all the way there she anticipated the coming, coming to see him. It was an excitement of what she planned to see. She thought she'd say, you know, as I travel in this life, as we go along in this life, I'm amazed at the things that have taken place in my life. And I think each and every one of us can relate to that. We remember how we started. We remember how we come to Christ. We remember sometimes where we are. We remember where we began. Many of us have beginnings unlike the young people of today. I get on to my grandchildren a lot. They pick at me because I like for them to turn their, whenever I take them to school, I like for them to turn their phones off because we want to have a conversation, because nowadays all you see with kids is they're walking around with their, just like this, you know. It seems like that we're losing some things. And like I say, it's almost like that you're never amazed by anything. But aside from that, Solomon then built his own house. This, by the way, the temple that he built was 20 stories tall, 207 feet tall, 180 feet long, 90 feet wide. Inside, just to touch the first portion of ceiling, was 50 feet. And guess what? All of it inlaid with solid gold. Solid gold. The house that he built for himself took 13 years. I thought that was a little bit different, but they did make noise when they built it. The house that he built was inlaid with solid gold. The people were all content. The people were all happy. They worshiped the Lord and they served him. And Sheba asked him all of these questions. I don't understand things. You know, I got questions that I want to ask. When I get to heaven, I want to ask the Lord some questions. Why? Why did this happen? I thought about, you know, some of the people, and I know that's in the audience here that maybe have lost loved ones at a young age, or we've seen it happen here. We don't understand it. Why? She asked him all of these things. Sheba, when she went to him, she said, How do you do all these things, and how did all this take place? And Solomon answered all of her questions, and he left nothing unanswered. And when she arrived at the final thing, it's almost like going to a movie screen and seeing some of these movies that you kids see where that you can't imagine all the things that take place. She said, the half has never been told. And then I tried to figure it into... This was an evaluation of hers that had later come. She said, I never believed what I would see. It's almost an amazing thing. This consideration of God, where he's looked down and he's seen us as a mechanic, as a TV guy, as whatever we are, you know. That he would consider us. What did David say? Let's look for a minute in Psalms, the 8th chapter. The 8th chapter in the first 3 verses. Oh Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, and thou hast praised. This is a psalm of David where he's praising the Lord. He said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou art ordained strength. Because of thine enemies thou hast mightest still the enemy and avenger. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Why would he even consider? Why would he look upon us? Why would he send forth his son? And listen, the amazing part is yet to come. Is yet to come. You know what Paul said later. Paul, who was repudiated by his own people and because of his acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ, but then Paul wrote later on. He said, "I hath not seen, neither has ear heard, what God has for those that love Him." If you're devoted to Him, if you're devoted to Christ Jesus, if your heart pours out to Him every day of your life, and you know that it's He that gives you all, it's He that whenever I look into the eyes of my grandchildren, I see God. Right. When we look into the eyes of our friends and our family, we realize that it's God and God alone that has us all in His hand. It's God that has the future of every one of these young children here. Nobody knows but God what you can be if you let yourself go to Him, accept Him. But he says this, David wrote this 1,000 years ago. What is man when I see this? And then when you go further in the New Testament, when he sends his own son. And listen, when Jesus is on the cross, it's not just a cross of crucifixion. It's a cross of God Himself turning His back on His own Son in order that mankind could be saved. Amen. Had Jesus come off the cross, then we would all be condemned to hell. Eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard what it is that Thou hast for them that love Him. Out of His own mouth, later, Jesus Christ predicted to come. And 140 scriptures prophesied to come into the Lord Jesus Christ exactly as He did. And Jesus said these words in Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 28th verse. He says these things to you and I, Jesus says. He says in the 28th verse here, He said, He said, and why take ye the thought of raiment? Consider the lies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in his mighty kingdom is not arrayed like the little daffodil or the jonquils that we see in spring. God created them. Only God could have done that. He causes them to come up in the spring. He causes the stars in the heavens to light our skies. And you know what I look at? When I look at the stars in the heavens, I realize this. We're not even seeing half of it.
Right.
Not half of it.
No.
Eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard what God has for those that love Him. Then we take it a step further. When she saw these things, she was so amazed. And like I say, it's a type and shadow of things that are to come. It's just a breath of what would take place later on at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this in 1 John. 1 John in the first chapter. Y'all forgive me, I marked my place and then I walked off and lost it. I have to have somebody. That's the reason the Lord gave me Sherry. Because if she didn't keep me straightened out on my stuff. You know what I noticed this morning? I usually drink a little, I drink a little honey every morning with my coffee. And I drank a little dab of creamer. Well, I'd run out of creamer, but I never said nothing to my wife. Well, I noticed this morning there was creamer sitting there, you know. Watches everything I do and takes care of me. I guess that's what we're. That's the reason that we had. But anyway, John said this. John, in writing about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, I'm going to tell you something. We as Christians, listen, we're all going to have to face the end of this life sometime. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen Quinn yet, have you? You ain't seen him again. Those that we've loved so much that have passed on, I can't wait. I can't wait. My mother, I tell you what, you talk about sweet. My wife patterned, she told me one time, I try to pattern myself after your mother a little bit. You ain't seen nothing yet. Those that we've lost, those that are yet to come. Though we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen Jesus yet like we're going to see him. And I want to tell you what John said. Here's the writer, the youngest boy, probably 15 years old of the apostles. 15-year-old boy that walked with Jesus. John. Peter, I believe, was the oldest. I think we've mentioned several times. I thought the Lord sometime put them together, because six times in the Scripture, Peter and John are called to do something. And I sometimes wonder if the Lord didn't want them to look at each other and Peter look at John and say, "Wish I was more like him," and then John to look at Peter and say, "I'm glad I ain't like him." Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of people look at me and say the same thing. I'm glad I ain't like him. But John, the youngest writer, he said this. He said this about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's written this letter to you, each and every one of us. He wrote it. He might as well have put your name on it. But he said these words. He said, "From the beginning, that which is from the beginning we have heard. And that which we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon with our hands and handled the word of life. From the life was manifest and have seen it and bear witness and show you the things that the eternal Father, which was with the Father, was manifest unto us." In other words, God manifested himself and sent forth his Son. Took upon himself, the Bible says in Philippians, the form of a man, that he would come forth and suffer and have to deal with the same situations, the same problems that you and I have. There's nothing that you hadn't faced that he hasn't faced before. And then he goes on to say this, "That which we have seen and that which we have heard." And he's saying, just as much as if he had it in your name and my name, he said, "And that you may have fellowship with us," and truly the fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed. And I'm not. I don't believe that God, that the Lord gave me this to try to pound you with something that, in other words, to break your heart or something like that to this extent. But I believe God sent me this to let you know you ain't seen nothing yet. Maybe I'm hooked on that old song back in the 70s. "You ain't seen nothing yet. But baby, I can see it, you know." I thought about that too. "You ain't seen nothing yet. Eye hath not seen. Neither hath ear heard. All the places, LaVonda, that y'all have been, you ain't seen nothing yet." I've seen some places too. Perry, we've seen places. Seen places, but you ain't seen nothing yet.
Amen.
My dad, that Chris just sang that song about, y'all, I would have loved for y'all to have known him. He had a personality like nobody else. Had these little things that he could say to you that just shock you. I said, "Well, Daddy, are you scared of dying?" "No, son, just want to make sure it's the last thing I ever do." I remember that. Now, for those that might be here that have never accepted Christ, let me tell you something. Just like Sheba, you have the invitation.
Yes.
For those here that have never placed your life in the hands of God, just like Sheba, she said, "I heard." You've heard. You've heard of Christ. You've heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the questions that you have can be answered while they get a song. Whichever one you choose, Keith. I want you to understand, the Bible says that God's eye is on every person. He loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. You know what? I've had a lot of people say, "Well, I talked to a fellow one time when we were walking down a dirt road, and he said, 'You don't know, I've done so much, the Lord can't save me.'" And I said, "Hey, you don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done, and I don't want to know. Only God knows." And you know what? The thing I love about God, the young people can forget this, but us older people can remember this. We, of course, as they get older, they'll have to remember. But God forgets our sins.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans 5:8, says, "For while we are yet sinners, Christ died and gave his life for us." In that God took us in. It, when Jesus was on the cross, and that one thief was hanging there, and he said, "If you're the Son of God, save yourself and us." And the other one said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And like I said years ago, I heard that thing, and I know I've mentioned it before, but I've often wondered if the angels wasn't looking down from heaven and see Jesus on the cross and tears running down their faces, and then said, well, who's he going to bring first? Is he going to bring Billy Graham first? Is he going to bring the King of England? But here he comes with a thief off the cross. While they get this song, you have the invitation. I hope that this means something to you. I hope that, like I say, I know God gave it to me for some reason or another, because it's been over a month ago when Joe told me, and I kept searching and kept listening for the Lord to give me this answer. You know what? And it's just like somebody like me. It's the same thing with you. The Lord talks to us. He speaks to us in mysterious ways. And ain't that a wonderful thing? But if you have something you want to settle with God, come here. Not to me, but to him.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer. Testify, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit, he runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquered death to bring me victory. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. Precious life he gave, and now he is alive, and there's an empty grave. And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know.
What was it? Hank Williams used to say, thanks for listening.